Well, good morning, everyone. If you would open your Bible today at John's Gospel and chapter 10, one of the best known and best loved chapters in all of the Bible. We looked yesterday at our distinct calling to be servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. And today we're going to look at our wonderful calling to be shepherds of the flock of God. There are three distinct leadership roles in the Old Testament, and all of them are bound together in the Lord Jesus Christ. These roles, as you all know, of course, were the role of the prophet and the priest and the king. The work of the prophet was to stand in the presence of God and to hear the word of God in order to speak that word of God. The prophets had a public ministry of proclamation. But then there was more than that. The work of the priest was to offer prayers, to offer sacrifices. The priests walked with the people. They brought God's people into God's presence. The priests had a personal ministry of pastoral care and of intercession. And then there was the work of the king, and that was to unite God's people, to protect them, to guard them, to lead them into battle, a ministry of guarding and of leading. And the image that we're looking at today in Scripture, the image of the shepherd, really brings each of these three together. Prophet, priest, and king are all wrapped up together in what it means to be a shepherd of the flock. Think of it, shepherds feed the sheep. They nourish the flock with a healthy diet, and we are to nourish God's people, as we saw yesterday, with a healthy diet of God's word. That's the prophetic role. Shepherds seek the sheep. They go after the sheep when they stray or are injured or become weak. That's like the priestly role. And shepherds guard the sheep. They must direct and protect the flock of God, and that is like the kingly role. Now, we're coming to John 10 today, and Jesus is the master teacher. And he often used analogies, pictures, so that we could come to understand something that we have not known by way of an analogy of something that we have known and seen. And this is what Jesus is doing here. If you look at John chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them." But notice that the meaning of the analogy or picture that Jesus used was not immediately clear. It says, verse 6, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." So Jesus explains the picture. And that's what's in these opening verses of John and chapter 10 that we're looking at together today. Very simply, there are five elements in this analogy. There is a sheepfold, there is a door, there are shepherds, there are thieves, and there are sheep. So I hope you have your Bible open at John and chapter 10. And let's begin at verse 1. Our Lord says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now, to get the picture in your mind, the sheepfold was a large square enclosure. It had high stone walls around it, and it had a narrow gate on one side. And shepherds were constantly leading their sheep in and out of the sheepfold. At night, they would lead their sheep into the sheepfold where the sheep would rest. Then in the morning, the shepherd would come and lead his sheep out of the sheepfold and into a place where they would find pasture. And the sheepfold was a collaborative venture. So one sheepfold would be large enough for many flocks of sheep. And there would be a gatekeeper who would be on duty during the night. And so the shepherds would leave their flocks in the fold, knowing that they would be protected and kept safe from attack by wild animals. And so if you can get the picture in your mind, this large enclosure with high stone walls around it and several hundred sheep in this enclosure, and they belong to perhaps 10 or more different shepherds, but they're all brought into one sheepfold at night. And that is why you see in verse 3, Jesus says that the shepherd calls his own sheep. Because there were many sheep, different flocks in the sheepfold. But the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. So when the shepherd comes in the morning, the sheep recognize his voice. And when they hear his voice and he calls them, they follow him out of the fold and he leads them into pasture. Now that's the picture that Jesus is using here of a sheepfold. Now, the second element here is that the sheepfold has a door. And the door is a narrow gateway by which the shepherds will lead the sheep in and out of the fold. And I want you to notice, if you have your Bible open in front of you, that Jesus refers to the door four times in these few verses, verse 1, 2, 7, and 9. So verse 1, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Or verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Or verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, clearly the door is the way in which the sheep enter into the sheepfold. And Jesus says that quite plainly in verse 7. I am the door of the sheep. But in this leaders' conference this morning, what I want you to notice is that the first thing that Jesus says here is not that the sheep enter through the door. It is that the shepherds enter through the door. Do you see that in verse 2? He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And you see what Jesus is doing right at the beginning of John 10 here. He's drawing a contrast between the shepherd who enters the sheepfold by the door, verse 2, and the thieves and the robbers, verse 1, who climb in by some other way. This is how you know who the true shepherd is. The person who enters by the door is the true shepherd of the sheep. The person who does not enter by the door is a thief and a robber. And Jesus says, I am the door. Now, our Lord spoke these words wonderfully immediately after he had healed a man who had been blind from birth. That, of course, is the big story that runs throughout John and chapter 9. The neighbors who had known this man since his childhood, blind from birth, were absolutely astonished at the miracle by which his sight was restored. And so you remember in the story that they reported him to the Pharisees, brought him to the Pharisees. And when the man insisted that it was Jesus Christ who had healed him, you remember that the Pharisees threw him out of the synagogue. Now, to be thrown out of the synagogue, of course, was no small thing. The synagogue was the heart of the community. And if you were thrown out of the synagogue, you were effectively thrown out of the community altogether. No one would buy from you or sell to you. Nobody would employ you or work for you. If you were put outside of the synagogue, you really were an alien to the community. You were an outsider until you in some way had mended your ways. And in John 9, we're told, think how beautiful this is. This man who's been wonderfully healed and then thrown out, it says Jesus went and found him. Isn't that beautiful? And since these words of Jesus in John 10 were spoken immediately after Jesus went and found the man who had been thrown out of the synagogue, I think it is very reasonable for us to assume that that man, once blind, now healed, thrown out of the synagogue, was standing right next to Jesus when he said them. And what a relief these words must have been to him. The Pharisees have thrown you out of the synagogue, but you do not need to worry, my dear friend. Whatever abuse you have suffered from them, they cannot exclude you from the blessing of God. I am the door, Jesus says. I am the door to peace with God and to eternal life. No one else can ever bring you into this. And no one else will ever be able to shut you out from it either. Those who have thrown you out are not true shepherds. They're thieves, they're robbers. They may have thrown you out of their synagogue, but they can never exclude you from the blessing of fellowship with God. I am the door, Jesus says. I'll bring you in, and no one will ever be able to shut you out. So there's a sheepfold and there's a door. And Jesus says, not once but twice, I am the door. Then thirdly, there are shepherds. Notice verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, again, I'm sure we're all the same here. When we see the word shepherd in the Bible, we immediately think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And of course, it's natural for us to think that immediately because Jesus says, as you all know well, later in this chapter, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. But I want you to notice this before we rush there. That Jesus does not introduce himself as the good shepherd until we get to verse 11. And we mustn't jump ahead, because if we do, we'll miss something very important that Jesus is saying to us here in verses 1 to 10. Before Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd, he tells us that he is the door. And the first thing he says about the door is that the shepherds, that is those who care for the sheep, enter by the door. So these verses are speaking very clearly and directly to us as Christian leaders today. And I want therefore from them to make four very simple observations about faithful shepherds. That's the heart of what we're about in these morning sessions. How can we be faithful shepherds? How can the work of God in us be the source and the overflow of what he does through us? And I just want you to notice, as we think of the shepherds going through the door, that faithful shepherds have a present tense experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now notice the word enters, present tense. Jesus is not describing something that happened once a long time ago. He's talking about something that happens repeatedly. How often did shepherds go through the door in Jesus' analogy here? Answer, every morning and every evening. A faithful shepherd has a present tense relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, draws near to Christ every morning, every evening. His security is in Christ. His joy and his peace is in Christ. Her sufficiency is in Christ. How else could he or she be useful to the sheep? And then I want you to think about this. We're just applying the analogy here, that faithful shepherds lead by example. Think about the power of this picture, that the shepherds go through the same door as the sheep. There's only one door. The shepherds have exactly the same relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as the sheep do. There's only this distinction that the shepherds are called to go through the door first. That is, shepherds are to lead by example, first through the door. When he has, verse 4, brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I was speaking at a conference recently, and in one of the sessions, Dr. Herschel York spoke to the pastors there about leading the flock. And he said that he had gone on a visit to Israel, and that he had been surprised when he saw what he thought was a shepherd driving the sheep from behind. And so he said to the tour guide, "Well, I'm confused. I always thought that in this country, shepherds walked in front of the sheep. Why is he driving the sheep from behind?" And the tour guide said, "Oh, he's not a shepherd. He's a butcher." Faithful shepherds go before their sheep. We're called to lead, not to drive. And the way that we lead is by example. And then think about this. We're just unpacking the analogy that the Lord Jesus gives to us here. It's beautiful. Faithful shepherds bring their sheep to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherds bring their sheep through the door. They go through the door first themselves, but they're constantly bringing their sheep to the door, to Jesus. How does a shepherd bring sheep into nourishing pasture? Through the door that is Jesus. How does the shepherd bring the sheep into peace and into rest? Through the door that is Jesus. It's always through the door. So you see, the first question to ask of any shepherd is, does he lead his people to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the defining question. Is the Lord Jesus Christ central to this person's ministry? First question to ask about any ministry. Does this ministry lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are people constantly being led to him and through him? Is he really the center and is he really the source of all things? Bishop Ryle, in his wonderful commentary on John's Gospel, let me quote, he says, "The true shepherd of souls is he who enters the ministry with a single eye to Christ, desiring to glorify Christ, doing all in the strength of Christ, preaching Christ's doctrines, walking in Christ's steps, laboring to bring men and women to Christ. If we would know the value of a man's ministry," he writes, "we must never fail to ask, where is the lamb? Where is the door? Does he bring forward Christ and give him his rightful place?" So here we have a marvelous snapshot, brothers, sisters, of what we are called to do here, don't we? Faithful shepherds. A present tense experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, daily through the door, walking, communing with Christ, leading by example, because the shepherds go through the door in front of the sheep, not behind them. Constantly bringing the sheep through the door to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's one more thing here as we're pondering what we learn about being a faithful shepherd from these words of Jesus. Faithful shepherds are committed to their sheep. You notice how later in these verses, Jesus draws a contrast between the shepherd and the hired hand. Verse 11, when Jesus introduces himself in this role, he says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees, verse 13, because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You know, the hired hand sees looking after the sheep as a job. A job. So if the cost or pressure of doing the job seems greater than the amount he's paid for doing it, he quits. He sees the wolf coming and he flees because he's not a shepherd. He's a hired hand. It's just a job. And I have formed this prayer that I commend to you as I keep it in my own heart. Oh God, let me never be a hired hand. Let me be a shepherd who loves your flock, who will serve your flock, and will stick with your flock, even at times when that may be very costly. So there are shepherds. And then there are thieves, fourthly. And again, the thieves come many times in what Jesus says here. Verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Or verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. Or verse 10, of course, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the walls of the sheepfold were high enough to keep wild animals out, but there was always a way for thieves to climb over the walls and to get in. And Jesus says the thief comes with this intent to steal and to kill and to destroy. The distinguishing mark of the thief is that he does not enter by the door, but he climbs in by another way. In other words, the thief may be able to hold a Bible in his hand. The thief may be able to talk about Jesus, but he himself does not come through the door. He does not walk with Christ. His life is not submitted to Christ. And the effect of his presence among the sheep is that some are stolen and others are destroyed. Now, we all know that there are thieves and robbers in every place and in every age, and they do great harm to the sheep. And so, all who aspire to be faithful shepherds need to teach our people to be wise in who they hear and careful in who they follow. And those, I'm sure you find this as I do, that those who have been harmed by thieves and robbers often find it quite difficult to believe that there really are good shepherds. And the temptation for them in their woundedness is often to give up and just to say, there are no shepherds, only thieves, only robbers. And your role as a healthy leader who walks with the Lord Jesus Christ, your role will often be to give to such folks gentle encouragement, to say tenderly, yes, you have been harmed by a thief. You've been harmed by a robber. And there are many others who have been hurt and harmed in the same way. But dear friend, there are millions, millions who thank God for the ministry of a faithful shepherd in their lives. And why should you not enjoy the same blessing too? And if there are some who have been hurt by thieves or robbers here in this room, I hope that this scripture will be a gentle encouragement to you not to give up hope, but to see that God is yet at work in his world and that there are such things as good and faithful and healthy shepherds, and may we all seek ever to be among them. Healthy flocks led by faithful shepherds are God's gift and God's design. Now that leads lastly to the sheep. And of course, the sheep run right throughout this passage. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So again, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Now, we all understand clearly that there is a profound and wonderful sense in which all believers hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, there is that direct connection with our Savior. But remember that in these verses at the beginning of John 10, we've not got to Jesus being the good shepherd yet. In these verses, Jesus is the door, and the faithful shepherds enter the fold by him, and they lead the sheep to him. So yes, there is a profound sense in which all of God's people hear the voice of the good shepherd directly. But the point here surely is that God's people hear his voice through the shepherds who lead them. And that's why what we are privileged to do is such a sacred trust, to actually feed the sheep, to bring the word of God into the lives of people, to go through the door in front of them and to minister in this way. God's plan for his people is that faithful shepherds will lead and feed the flock. And that is why, as we all know very well, in Ephesians in chapter 4, God, Christ gives pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And that word pastor, of course, is simply shepherd. It's John 10, and it's what we're looking at here. And so look at this beautiful relationship and just take in what it is that Christ is calling us to. The relationship between pastors and people, shepherds and sheep, leaders and those who we are privileged to lead in the various spheres in which we find ourselves serving. The sheep hear their shepherd, and the sheep follow their shepherd because this person is first in going through the door, him or herself. It's a beautiful picture. The sheep knowing the shepherd knowing the shepherd leading the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice. And what is binding them together is that they share a present tense experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live, as all of you know, in a highly individualistic culture. And one of the challenges that we face is that people are drawn to develop their own brands of Christianity, highly individualistic, me and a few friends, and no place whatever for the church. We hear it all the time. I follow Jesus. I don't need the church. But let me just say this. Lone sheep are very vulnerable to wolves. very vulnerable to wolves. And God's plan is that his sheep will be gathered together in flocks, and that the flocks will be placed in the care of shepherds. That's why we want to do surely everything that we can within our power to ensure, as best we are able, that every evangelistic strategy is tied in some way to the local church, wherever God has set us. Now, I want to end with verses 9 and 10, where Christ gives us the most marvelous threefold promise to all who enter through him. That's the picture that we've been focused on, entering through Christ, not a one-off thing, in and out, morning, evening, walking with Christ. Look at verse 9 and 10 and see the threefold promise that is given to us here in this room this morning as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. To be saved is to be delivered from all sin and all consequences of sin, so that not only are we washed of its guilt, not only are we freed from its power, but we are delivered from its very presence forever and forever. That's what lies ahead, and that is what Jesus promises. It's the most glorious promise. Do you realize, dear brother and sister, that a day is coming in the presence of Jesus? There will be no more inclination to sin in you than there is right now in the holy angels themselves. There won't be even the hint of a sniff of sin upon you, in you, or anywhere around you. Can you imagine how happy you will be? And entering into the joy of a level of fellowship with God that we can only begin from a far distance to anticipate and to glimpse with eager joy. Enter through the door and you will be saved. Enter through the door, Jesus says, and you will find pasture. Look at it, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There have to be some of us here today who are asking the question right now that all of us surely ask at sometimes in our ministries. How am I going to keep this up? How am I going to sustain this? So much that is given out. Am I going to be able to keep going? How will I sustain this ministry? Will you take this in from the Word of God as a gift and a promise to you from the Lord Jesus today? Christ will feed you. Christ will nourish you. You will go in and out and find pasture. He will sustain you. That's your confidence. Trust him. Enter through the door, that is, you're walking in communion with Christ, you'll be saved. Enter through the door, you're walking in communion with Christ, you'll find pasture, you'll not run dry. It'll be like that cruse of oil in the Old Testament that just keeps pouring because you're walking with him and he's pouring in as you're pouring out. Your ministry to others is the overflow of what he's doing in you. And then look at this. Enter through the door, and you will have abundant life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. And then into verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Oh, dear friends, Christian leadership brings many pressures. I've been moved over these last days as I've had the privilege just of speaking with many of you and listening to some of the pressures that you endure. There are brothers, sisters here living under extraordinary pressures and sustaining marvelous ministry courageously for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all know what it is, that when the pressures become more intense, there are times when we may begin to wonder, is this really worth it? We've all been there. Your life, dear friend, may be harder because you give yourself to serving Christ, but it will never be less. No one ever dies wishing they had served Jesus less. Never. No one ever dies wishing that they had served Jesus less. Jesus came so that you may have life abundantly, and you will find it as you walk with him.